Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host Damon, and today we are very excited to welcome Kyle Onuma to the show.
What's up, Damon?
What's up, Kyle? So with each of our guests, we ask the same question: what has God been highlighting to you recently? So Kyle, what's God been teaching you?
Well, I think it was around December, he kind of put healing and dream interpretation on my mind. So there's a book, Dream Interpretations Made Simple and Divine Healing Made Simple. So I saw those and I'm like, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to read those.
So it seems like that's a common thread with some of our guests recently, is that God's been putting different things on their heart and he's been asking them to follow obediently, even though they might not see where this is going. So how do you feel like God's been, showing you more of what he's doing in this season?
Yeah, you know, I've had that in the past where he's kind of highlighted certain things and I've stepped into them and then they've made sense after. And, you know, I'm more logical and analytical, so it was hard at first, but now I've kind of gotten used to it a little bit. So I'm like, well, I don't know exactly why. I mean, I'm kind of curious about those two topics anyways. And I feel like, well, I'm supposed to read the books first and then, you know, God will kind of use them and use the information I'm gathering. So I'm kind of waiting to see.
Must be kind of nice when the books are both made simple books.
Yeah, that's right.
So this episode is going to be a little bit different than most of our other ones. Normally we do interviews with our guests, but one of the things that we feel like God has been highlighting to us recently, Kyle and I have been leading some biblical worldview classes. And as we've been going through these biblical worldview classes and discussing the content, one of the things that keeps coming up is biblical manhood. And we've been trying to discern and understand, what does it look like for us to be biblical men, and how does God want us to live out our roles as men? And so for this episode, what we wanted to do is we just wanted to have a little bit more of a discussion, and not so much of an interview, but just a discussion to share with you as a listener some of the things that God's been highlighting to us when it comes to biblical manhood. And it's interesting because Mimo's been sending us a lot of podcasts about biblical manhood.
I know, she's like trying to give us like a nudge. Yeah, you guys need to step in a little more or what?
I know. So it's kind of funny. You know, one of the recent sermons, she shared a little bit of her testimony about just what God's been leading her in. And she said she's been listening to a lot of podcasts and she's been sharing them with people. And she's definitely been sharing them with us.
She definitely does. Yeah, we get our fair share of those, right?
Yeah, at least two or three a week. So thank you, Mimo. We're taking the hint. We're listening to it. And we're trying to step into some of the things that God's been leading us in as we listen to these podcasts. So one of the podcasts that she sent recently, they brought in an author who wrote a book that was talking about biblical manhood. And he had six different things that he was talking about that he felt like God was highlighting to him about what it looks like to be a biblical man. So Kyle, did you want to share a little bit about what those were?
Yeah, you know what? How about I read off the six and then we each can maybe go over one that kind of stood out to us.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea.
So the first one he says, and they're not in any particular order, but the first one is forsake the fake, relish the real. Second is protect the vulnerable. Third is be ambitious about the right things. Fourth is make women and children feel safe, not feel threatened. Five is choose today who you will become tomorrow. And six, take responsibility for your own spiritual life. So, I mean, for myself, one that stands out is the third one, be ambitious about the right things. I think, you know, as I've matured, I'm getting older these days, my wife continues to remind me of that. You know, when I was younger, I focused on a lot of different things. It was I love sports. I still do, but I was more invested in sports, watching and, you know, participating, and so more of my time and energy was that way. Just things that I feel like didn't have as much value. But as I've matured, I started to see, you know, obviously having kids is a big change, and I want to invest more in my kids. So that was a big shift. But even before I had kids, it was starting to be like, well, this stuff's okay. It's fun, but it's just, there's not a lot of depth to it. So I think that that call to be ambitious about the right things, I think as men, there's, you know, our society wants us to, or their view of manhood is a lot different than what God's view is. And so I think there's a lot of distractions, a lot of things we could do that really get us away from being effective for the Lord.
Yeah, I think that's been something that I've been talking with my son about recently a lot is, you know, he gets excited about certain video games, or he gets excited and really wants to dive into learning more about certain topics. And, you know, one of the things I've been telling him is make sure that that's the right thing that you should be doing, and not just something that's fun or something that's interesting, but, you know, let's spend our time focusing on things that are make a difference and matter.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's having balance, right? I mean, mm-hmm. God wants us to enjoy things, have fun, but when those things really get kind of top heavy and we spend too much of our time and resources and just mental power on those kind of things, we're not maturing.
Yeah. So out of the six, for me, coming into this, as we were discussing it, I was thinking about talking about number six, which is take responsibility for your own spiritual life, which I think I do want to talk a little bit about later. But as Kyle was reading them off again, I really felt like the first one was highlighted, which is forsake the fake, because I think I don't really understand what that means, or I wanted to little discuss about it so that we get a little bit clearer picture of what that actually looks like. So Kyle, what do you think that means when he says forsake the fake?
Caught me off guard there. I thought you were going with number six. I think it's just our culture and the kind of movement we're going towards, you know, the social media. You can hide behind a facade. Mm-hmm. You know, now we're starting to get to virtual reality type things where things aren't necessarily what's happening in reality. And so I think those things are fun and they're cool, and it's kind of fun to have that false facade that you can hide behind, but really that's not who we are. That's not who other people are. And so if we can be kind of secure in our own identity of how God made us, how he designed us, and be okay with that, that's how we can relish the real. We can just be happy and content instead of always trying to strive for something that's really not us and not real.
Yeah. And as you were sharing about that, Kyle, it really brought to mind what the purpose of this podcast is to help people to flourish in any season. And, you know, when we are constantly being bombarded with all of these fake things or virtual things, then we're not really flourishing. We're looking for, you know, the grass being greener somewhere else. And God wants us to flourish where we're at, which is in reality, and not just trying to escape and find something else.
Yeah. I mean, we all have a limited amount of time and energy, and, you know, like, I feel like that's something that we can put the things into the things that matter, put our time and energy into the things that matter. And that's kind of something I look at for my kids too. I want them to focus on, you know, what's going to make them better people, still have fun. I mean, there's the enjoyment aspect, but you know, it's not like we have philosophical talks all day long, but you know, I want them to see the value in things that are real, not get caught up in, you know, the distractions of the world.
Yeah. And it seems like there's so many distractions nowadays. It's so easy to live our whole day and spend most of it in front of a screen, or spending most of it on social media and things like that. And I feel like God's been really trying to just make me more aware of the amount of time that we're spending in front of things that aren't real.
Right. Yeah. I think it's interesting. My wife, she's really wants to go on I forget what she calls it, some kind of retreat where it's like 3 days of nothing. You have all your digital, everything's gone, but it's at a facility where they kind of walk you through different things and prayer. And she really wants to kind of like detox and get away from all that stuff. And it's hard because it's always around us. And sometimes I think we need that kind of separation to get away from it and then kind of start fresh and realize what kind of pull it has on you.
Yeah, so it's interesting as we're talking about this, is it seems like a lot of these points that this author is making, they kind of tie together.
Yeah, they do.
So, you know, kind of going in that direction too. Originally, I wanted to talk about number six, which is take responsibility for your own spiritual life. And I feel like that's been something that God's been really highlighting to me, you know, as I was thinking about coming on our podcast today and having this discussion with you, Kyle. One of the things that I felt like the Lord was highlighting to me in my spiritual journey and my journey as a man is that, you know, as a man, he wants me to go first, and he wants me to be willing to go first. So if I want to see change in my family, if I want to see change in the people around me, I can't change them, but I can focus on looking at the things that I can change, which is myself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so, and I feel like that fits into this, take responsibility for your own spiritual life. So it's not just always looking around and wanting to change this or wanting to change that, but it's looking at what is God wanting to change in me, and how can I grow closer to him and take ownership of my own spiritual life and not just always complain about, you know, my wife did this, my kids are doing this, or, and I want it all to change. But it's, what's the Lord doing in me too?
Yeah, I mean, it's that concept of not looking at the speck in somebody else's eye when you got to log in your own, right? It's you got to deal with your own house first.
Yeah, so I think that's been something that God's really been leading me in as a biblical man, or trying to pursue biblical manhood, is I need to be willing to go first, and I need to be willing to take risks. I need to be willing to put myself out there. I need to be willing to dig deep into the areas that God wants to bring healing or wholeness, and I need to be able to just pursue those things. And it's interesting because I feel like the Lord just brought to mind a time of a few years ago where I remember I was at a retreat and I was talking to Henry, and I was sharing with him some of the struggles that I was going through, and he's like, what are you doing about it? And I was like, not too much. And then he's like, well, what's holding you back? And I was like, well, I have all these responsibilities and I have my kids and da 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 da. And he kind of just flat out called me out and said, stop hiding behind your kids.
Way to go, Henry.
Yeah. And so after that, you know, I started to pursue, you know, Henry agreed to meet with me once a week, just to share with him. And it was life transforming. And then after that, I signed up for IPM, and that was life transforming. And I feel like I'm in such a better place now because I took ownership of my own spiritual life, and there's been transformation because of it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've had that in my own life too. It's easy to look at where you want to be, and it almost looks insurmountable. Like I can't get there. But God just wants us to take those little steps and be obedient. You know, He wants us to be loyal. And as men, sometimes I think in our society, even in our church, sometimes we're heavy on emotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not always men and women that are wired that way, but predominantly men, you know, are less emotional, women are more. And for the men that are like, right, I'm more analytical, I'm not as emotional, but God brought me through a season of kind of like experiencing emotions. And I thought that was really good because it gave me a different appreciation for that. Mm. And I feel sometimes He does take me there, and it's easier for me to kind of go to that place now. But I don't feel like I have to be there to feel like I'm connected to the Lord and to be, you know, accepted. And so I feel He just wants me to be loyal. And I think as husbands too, and as men, we don't always have to have those emotional highs and always have to be led by our emotions. I think we heard in one of those podcasts, there's a funny saying that our emotions are great followers, but they're horrible leaders. And I think sometimes when we're led by our emotions, it can get us into bad places. But I think that's that's something I've learned to value about myself, is the analytical, the thinking side is actually very valuable in a lot of ways. And sometimes as men, we don't get that called out. So, you know, men, just step into that, you know, that steadfast loyalty that the Lord wants from us.
Yeah, and it seems like that's been a common theme, whether for men or for women, is the obedience part. With some of our recent guests, it brings to mind when Michelle Okimura was talking about her journey, and she was sharing that, you know, our society is so focused on following our passions right now. But one of the things that she had shared is that, you know, God is calling us to be obedient, and obedience trumps passion.
Right.
But then in her journey, because she was obedient, she realized that the direction that God was taking her in actually fulfilled her passions.
Yeah, no, that was very powerful when she shared that.
Yeah, so I think it's been interesting how God's been kind of weaving even this whole journey of our whole Engage to Flourish podcast. It seems like God's been weaving these different threads and just trying to bring it all together and share with our listeners, you know, God is moving in different seasons, but God is calling out certain things. So maybe in this season, God's calling us to obedience.
Yeah, no, I think that seems, it's something that's been neglected a little bit. You know?
Yeah, so as we're talking about obedience, one of the things that we feel like God's been leading us in also is not just to pursue biblical manhood for ourselves, but to look at what does it look like to raise our sons, because both Kyle and I have sons, to be biblical men. So Kyle, after listening to one of the podcasts that Mimo sent us, he was, it kind of, again, Mimo's been sending us a lot, so we have a lot to draw from. But one of the podcasts that we were listening to had a few different things talking about the differences between boys and men. And we felt like that was a good thing for us to recognize as we're raising our sons to be men, because right now they're boys, and so we want to help to lead them to become the men that God made them to be. So, Kyle, do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting when she sent that podcast. You know, I got to be honest. Sometimes she sends them, I'm like, oh, I don't want to listen to this, and especially when they're long ones. But then she's getting better at sending the shorter ones, right? So those are more palatable. Excuse me. But this one, when I listened to this one, you know, there were some points about raising boys into men, and I was like, oh, I want this for my sons. And so I approached Damon, I think the same day. I wrote him down because I had to go listen to the podcast. I wrote him down, and I said, Damon, this was on that podcast. I want to turn this into some kind of like graphic, excuse me. And I want to make it into like a, something I can hang on our bathroom mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kyle approached me and he said, can I make this a graphic? What can we do with it? I just want to do it for my kids so that they can see some of the truths that God's been highlighting to this author about what it looks like to be a biblical man. And so we started this discussion about what could that actually look like?
Yeah, so man, I got bad allergies today. So we started talking it through, and we said let's come up with this graphic and let's put it on paper. So I apologize for that clearing my throat, but we labeled it "Stepping into Biblical Manhood," and then we put a header on it that says "You're not the center of the story; you're part of the story," and then we listed four truths. So the first truth is life is hard, and boys want it easy, but men embrace difficulty. The second truth is you're not number one. Boys favor themselves, but men care about others. A third truth is you're not in control. Boys desire total control, but men submit to God. And the last one is you are going to die. That one, I read that to my kids the other day, and they were like, they started laughing. They were trying to give me ways to make that not so harsh. But so yeah, our wording's not finalized on that, but it's the concept of boys think about now, but men think about their legacy.
Yeah, and every time we read that last one to people,
we get different reactions. Huh?
So we've been trying to figure out what's the right verbiage to use for that one, but we keep coming back to this because we really want our kids to think about what are they leaving behind in terms of legacy. And you only really think about that when you think about death and that our right. life is not permanent.
Right. And it's actually kind of funny because I was driving in the car with my son yesterday going to get dinner, and my older son, he's 13. And out of the blue, we're at a stoplight, and he just goes, "Dad, what's the purpose of life?" And I was like, "Oh boy, where are we going with this?" Right. So I started talking. I'm like going into Ecclesiastes, and then I'm like, and then whenever you get stuck, parents, this is a good tool. You just go, "Well, what do you mean by that?" Just redirect with a question, and then it gives you time to think and process. So he goes, "I don't know. It just popped in my head, but you know, like." What are we supposed to do when we're here on Earth? Then he goes, why do I even need to go to school? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's where it's coming from, maybe. But it was good because he's getting to that age where he's starting to, or he needs to start maturing his thoughts and starting to get to those deeper questions of life. And so it was good. We just had a brief little discussion, and then, it was, but I think because he's been looking at these questions on the mirror, I brought him home last week, Wednesday, I believe. So they've looked at him a little bit here and there, not a lot of time, but it's starting to kind of already sink in with them a little bit.
Yeah, so, I lost my train of thought.
But I can jump in a second. So last night I said, you know, I need some content for our podcast today. So I go to each of my boys, okay, which ones of these stood out? And they were kind of like, they couldn't give me answers. They were like just struggling. So then I asked them a different question. I said, okay, which one of these is really difficult for you? And then the light went on. They're like, oh, so Ezra goes, number one, that life is hard. I'm like, oh yeah, he's younger. He's eight. You know, he wants things to be easy. Doesn't want to embrace difficulty. My older one's getting to that process where he's having to wrestle with that a little bit more. So, and then he goes, his second one was you're not number one. Because he likes, you know, wants to favor himself.
Yeah.
This is my younger one. And so I'm like, yeah. I mean, I told him, I said, I still deal with that too. But then my older one, he said, the third one, that you're not in control. He likes to be in control. And he's good at, when he's in control, he has good command and he can direct things. But it's hard for him to submit when other people have good ideas and have their desires, mm-hmm. especially his younger brother. But it's hard for him to kind of submit to other people. And then, you know, that's going to be hard for him to submit to the Lord as well.
Yeah, as I look through our list over and over again, one of the things that keeps coming to mind as I'm looking at it is how much the world and how much the enemy wants our boys to stay boys and not become men. Because what can they do if, you know, they live out this life where they're embracing difficulty and they're not afraid of doing hard things?
Right.
And what is it going to look like in a world where men care about other people and not just themselves? And what does it look like when men are willing to submit to the Lord and follow him and be obedient, even when it might not be something that they're passionate about, but just obedient, right? And then what does it look like when men are concerned about their legacy and not just about what they're doing right now? And yeah, it's kind of shocking how everything around us, the distractions, all of those things, the screens are trying to keep our boys boys and not allow them to become men.
And I think it really ties into the header that we have up there. You know, that in the podcast, he had it as a fifth truth, and we decided to make it our header, that you're not the center of the story, you're part of the story. Mm-hmm. And I think our world and our society wants all of us to think that we're the center of the story. It's all about us, and how does everything affect us? And I see that in my kids, and I think my wife does a really good job of getting them to see others. You know, she's a social worker. She has that gift of mercy, and so she's implanted that in them early, and so they do have that. Yet there's still that pull to like, I want what's good for me. I want to look at it from my perspective only. And there's that constant pull that us as adults, I mean, it doesn't go away. It's mm-hmm. still there. And I think social media, all this, the way our society is going, it's making it more about us.
Yeah. And as you were talking about being the center of the story, the word history came to mind. Mm. And you know, if you kind of break down the word history, it's his story, right? And so really it's about the story of God, right? And so when we think about history, we should be thinking about the story of God and our place in that story, right? And we're not the center. He's the center, but we get to play a part in it. And he's invited us to participate in what he's doing.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to look at it, Damon.
Yeah, so Kyle, do you have anything that you want to leave our listeners with?
You know, for men, just, you know, step into some of these things. You know, at a recent message that Pastor Barry gave, he called men out that, hey, we're supposed to step into being the warriors that God called us to be the leaders in our households, in our families, in our workplaces, that we're not supposed to sit back and be idle. And, you know, we're at that point where it's not acceptable to just stick your head in the sand. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, well, I don't want to deal with it. That's not for me. And I'll just let other people deal with it. That's not it. If we're Christians, we're part of that journey that we all have a role to play, whether it's big or small. But it's not an excuse to stick our heads in the sand.
Yeah, it seems like right now God is calling and God is moving in the, at least what I feel like He's doing is He's waking up the lions. Pastor Barry gave that description of, you know, towards the beginning of this year, 2022, is that God's waking up the lions, and I feel like this is part of the journey for us as men, is that He's waking us up to be the lions, to be the protectors, be the leaders, be the people that are going to stand for Him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've been talking more about men and manhood and stuff like that, but for women, you know, speak into the men in your life too. You know, you have a role to encourage them and push them into this journey as well. And so it's not that this isn't for you as well, but you have a role to play to support them and to encourage them and you know, to really be their cheerleader and to rally around them.
Yeah, so that kind of brought to mind something that happened recently in service. Do you want to share about Mimo's experience when Pastor Barry was calling out the men?
Yeah, you know, I it won't be on the recording for those that weren't in service, but, you know, Pastor Barry, you know, challenged the men to step up and come up to the front of the auditorium if they felt like they're supposed to take a stand right now as men and be the warriors that God called them out to be. Yeah, my wife might get mad that you brought this up. Thanks, Damon. It's not me.
Well, at least you could blame me.
You know, but, you know, she got really emotional because she saw some men come up and then she closed her eyes and, you know, she's up there on the worship team And then when she opened her eyes again, the front was just crowded with men, and she just got overwhelmed, because I know in her heart there's that longing to see men step into their role that God's called them to be. So in our church, in our society, just all over, that men are not taking the ownership that they need to. And so I know that's on her heart. So to see that happen in front of her was just powerful. And I know Pastor Barry recognized that and mentioned that when he went back up and kind of blessed and closed the service, that she had that heart of a woman that there's a longing for men to step into that role and fill that gap. So, yeah, man, I'm as guilty as you are, and I don't step into all the areas that I could and should, but I'm trying to do more and more. And, you know, as a father, as a husband, as a church leader, just all the places that God's put me.
Yeah, that's a great calling out of our people and our men. And, you know, hopefully this was an encouraging podcast for you as a man or as a woman to see what God is doing and what God is stirring in our church and the men and what he's calling out.
Yeah, you know, I think you have to have Mimo on here now. I think you got to get her on the podcast and have her talk about, you know, what's the biblical calling for women and womanhood.
I think that's a good idea. So Mimo, we're calling you out. Please come on our show pretty soon. So Kyle, thanks for your time. Thanks for sharing with us. I know you got a meeting to run to, so thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Damon, thanks for your passion of putting this together. I think it's a great resource for our church and to learn and hear different voices. So thanks for having me on.
So until next time, check us out on the next Engage to Flourish podcast. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.